On this song, we're going to sing, we'll sing 1, 3, and 5, Be Thou My Vision. And on the last verse, we will go up one notch. So, just remember that. Turn to 669.
Oh, Rainbow again. Last night on the way home, we're staying at Stephanie King's, and she's like, I just love to hear women singing. And I've been thinking about that this morning when you were all singing, and how beautiful it is. But then I also thought, when we have foot washing at our church, the ladies stay upstairs and the men go downstairs. We rent a fire hall. So they go downstairs, and we usually sing during our foot washing time. And I think the men sing downstairs. We don't hear them. But what one of my favorite things about communion service is when we finish, I usually text my husband and say, we're done. And then the men come up the stairs and join in with the women singing when we're singing. And we go from the women with our sopranos and altos bringing the bass and tenor in. It's so lovely. It's just so beautiful to, as they join in and round out the music. Yeah, I'm not applying that with anything here. I just, yeah, there's just something in being balanced and having all the parts that is just so lovely. So why don't we start with a word of prayer again, maybe from my heart more than yours. But yeah, we're going to be looking at flourishing in the church and in society. So let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Would you look down on this little meeting here on the West Coast, Lord, and just pour your blessing into each one of these sisters' lives. Lord, I know I won't be sharing anything new, but help them to just be refreshed in their call to serve you right where they're at. Help them to flourish and grow and prosper right where you have them. I pray that each heart would be open and receptive to what you bring to their heart and mind. And Lord, if there's something that's not on my notes that you want me to share, just bring it to my mind. And also, if there's something I should not share, just take it away, God. I want to trust you for the outcome of this whole meeting. Just bless each one of the sisters that is here and help each one to grow in you this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, like I said, flourishing in the church and in society. I actually found the home one to be the other one, home side, to be a little easier, but that's okay. We're called to serve everywhere. And I'm going to, again, look at the definition of flourishing, just to bring it to our minds again. It's to grow luxuriantly. I know I'm not saying that right, but anyway. Or meaning to thrive, or to achieve success and to prosper, to be in a state of activity or production. So I like to take the word thriving and prospering, and that is what we want to do in the church and in society around us, to thrive and to prosper. So when Stephanie first gave me the topic of roles in the life of a woman, I mulled that word over for a while. Roles. What does roles mean? Could I come up with a different word? Because I felt like, yeah, it wasn't a word I used a lot. But I looked it up, and this is the definition of role. It is a character assigned or assumed. The second one is a socially expected behavior pattern, usually determined by an individual's status in a particular society, or a part played by an actor or a singer. And then another definition was a function or part performed especially in a particular operation or process. Kind of wordy. But it is which one was it here? It's the function that we're assigned to or we're assumed. And I feel God has assigned us to be women. And we want to flourish in our role as being a woman, or in our part as being a woman, or in our job as being a woman. And we want to be the best woman that we can be for God. It's not for show. It's not so everybody else sees how good we play our role as a woman, but it's between you and God first and foremost. And so, first of all, I want to encourage us in embracing our birth calling to be a woman. I almost have to say that, and I'm sure not in this circle. I don't feel that at all. But in today's society, they're trying to blur those lines between men and women with the idea that if you embrace being a woman, it's a lesser role. Women are not as important, especially as men in their leadership. And I personally do not feel that we have a lesser role in any form. We just have a different role. We are not lesser, we are just different. Our role, your job as a woman, is very important. And we need women to fill those roles and to fill them well, without apology. In this fallen world, people are questioning, what is a woman? People can't define what a woman is, because a woman can be anything you want it to be. A man can say, I'm a woman. It is so wrong. But we can be women, and we can embrace it and fulfill it without apology. So let's hold our heads high and smile. Not proud, but maybe proud in what God has made us. He made us women, and that's a good thing. You will probably see that I appreciate being a woman. I'm glad I'm not a man. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to make some of those big decisions. I want to embrace my calling to be a woman, to be all that God has made me to be. So again, my first point, I want to look at the struggles that we might face in being a woman that might hinder our growth, that might cause us to not flourish. And some of these might apply to you, some of them may not apply to you. I don't expect them to really. Of course, I don't know you ladies, so maybe you do struggle a little bit more with being a woman. But some women struggle with, they feel called to leadership ministries. They feel like they need to preach, or they need to, be in leadership. That's definitely a hindrance in being a woman. And some of them struggle because the men in their lives have not risen to the need to that leadership, and they feel that they need to do it. And that's a hard place to be. Some struggle feeling that God and Paul were not fair to women. They downplayed them. I don't feel that way at all. Some struggle with today's attitudes towards feminism, and it influences our outlook towards the biblical view of a woman. If we struggle with today's attitudes, or if we accept today's attitudes of feminism. Being feminine and feminism, it can be two totally different things. Some women struggle with the fact that we can't do more because we're women. There could be some that have people in their lives that are trying to hinder their growth. And you can think there's forms of abuse, mental, physical, spiritual abuses. And if that is you, that's a reason to struggle. And I want to encourage you to find some advice or counsel if you are facing abuse. But for the most part, I am not, for the rest of this part, I am not talking about women in areas of abuse, but in women who have men that honor them for being women in their lives. So, what I say, if you're like, that doesn't apply to me, my whoever is abusing me, seek advice and counsel in that area so that you can, overcome or be free or find help in that area. Because I feel a woman should be free to be a woman and to flourish in her role. And that is when we are in our place. Women are equal in value, but different in giftings and roles. To God, we have equal value as a man. We are not any less than a man. But God has an expectation for differences in the way we work out our roles. We have different giftings than a man does, both in home and in the church. Personally, I feel that the woman's role is so large and so extensive that you can pour your whole life and energies into being a woman, and you will have no time to want to fill a man's role because you'll be too busy being the woman that God has made you to be. And I believe that, and I encourage you all to embrace being a woman in that area, in that way. You don't have to fill a man's role. You can spend your entire life being that Proverbs 31 woman or a Titus 2 woman, and you will be fulfilled. Yeah. In my studies and my research, I read this really nice article on women's roles in the church. It was very good. And glancing over some of the comments, which maybe you shouldn't always do, but this one was kind of eye-opening to me. This was written by a man. I think it was a woman's article she wrote on women's roles in the church. And this man says, now this I don't agree with, but this is the attitude of men and women, women and men, I should say, in today's society. He writes, "I was quite disappointed when I read the article. The roles," he had that quote, "described were both positive and negative. They apply equally to men and women. This article completely avoids the issue that must be addressed if the Christian church is to continue to be relevant in our Western culture. We are turning people away from the church with our outdated and discriminatory views of women based on a few misunderstood and incorrectly interpreted scriptures that are used to isolate proof text, and we are ignoring the scripture that clearly describes women in leadership roles in the kingdom of God. We have competent women who are CEOs of multinational corporations, leaders in government positions," quote, "vice president, speaker of the house, prime ministers in other countries, head of European Central Bank, owners of and managers of small business," and the list could go on. And some of that's true, but I personally don't feel that a woman needs to be a president or a vice president. He finishes with, to continue to insist that women cannot have central leadership roles in the church is ridiculous and absurd and will turn people away from the kingdom of God for no reason. Ladies, that's what we're dealing with in the world these days. And maybe some of you have that in your family backgrounds. But I am here to tell you that is not true. We do not have to fill the role or the shoes of a man to be fulfilled. So it burdened me to read that, but I'm like, that is what we're facing in today's world. Like I said, it's wrong. It's very wrong. So spend your time, life being a woman, and you'll be busy and fulfilled. Okay. Point number two is ways that we can flourish, or ways to flourish. This, I'm going to be looking at how a plant flourishes and apply that a little bit to our lives. So there are five things that plants need to flourish. And when we bring school groups into our greenhouse, we ask them for those, if they know what those things are, and they often are able to fill quite a few of those slots. So can you tell me, what are five things that plants need to grow?
Water.
Water, light.
Good soil,
which I would put under nutrients. Good soil and fertilizers. Two more things. Air. And the last one, it maybe isn't quite so much a thing, but it's a space to grow. So they need, plants need water, nutrients, light, air, and a space to grow. One time when I was diligent in planting my corn, I think it was corn, I planted them way too close. They did not have space to grow. And corn does not prosper or thrive when it's planted close and the stalks are thin and the ears hardly get, yeah. So we need to give space between our plants, our seeds, so that they can truly prosper and grow. So let's look at water. A plant needs water. And the reason that a plant needs water is water helps plants move nutrients and is essential for photosynthesis. Without enough water, plants can develop dry leaves and weak stems and will eventually die. And I just thought of this. Too much water causes root rot and things. So too much water is not good either, but they do need enough of water. And in our lives, I am going to liken water to the Word of God and to preaching in our lives. We need it to, so that we don't dry up and die. We need it so that it moves the nutrients through our bodies. And yeah, so we can either study the Word of God ourselves or hear it through the preaching of the Word to water our souls. I mean, what's good is put down that verse about, the water of the Word, but I forgot to do that. So that verse applies there. Plants need nutrients, and plants can get nutrients from the soil, from fertilizers, and even from the air. And nutrients include micronutrients such as potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus, and micronutrients such as magnesium and zinc. I'm glad they need that because I don't understand that part. And fertilizers can help plants grow faster and bigger and produce more food. If you have a hanging basket and you say, I'm never doing that again, they don't grow for me. They don't live. Fertilize, fertilize, fertilize. That's one thing I preach at our greenhouse. My plants doesn't do well. Well, do you fertilize it every week? No. Well, why don't you try that? That's going to help you a whole lot more. And I don't speak very loudly because I don't do that myself. But a fertilizer, and especially a container, is very important because they only have a certain amount of soil and their roots can quickly use up any nutrients that are there. So you need to continue to add nutrients to your soil so that they grow. And this could apply as many different things to a Christian woman's life. But I just looked at the idea of the encouragement that we receive from other people. Our sisters in the church and other Christians that we might meet, our families, they can encourage us onward, whether it's in spiritual avenues, in practical things, but that can make us grow. That can fertilize and give us that extra boost to grow in an area. The third thing that plants need is light. Plants use light from the sun or artificial grow lights for photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is the process in which plants convert water and carbon dioxide into carbohydrates, which provide energy for growth. Plants that don't get enough light may be longer, thinner stems with fewer leaves and flowers. Very true. If you ever started a plant seed on your windowsill at home and they do not get enough light, they will stretch towards the light, making these really thin, weak almost stems. So your plants need enough of light. And when we start our seeds in the greenhouse or we start things in our propagating houses, we always have artificial light because our growing season at this time of the year, it's probably a lot like yours. It's a lot more darkness than light, so they need the artificial light to grow. And then some plants even require extra light. So I am going to liken light in our lives to a consistent walk with Jesus because he is the light of the world. John 8:12. He came to give light. He is light. So a consistent walk might mean reading the Word, as in the first point of water, praying, just listening to God, hearing from him, walking with Jesus, and even keeping him center focus in our mind. If we walking through life, hard situations come up, be quick to just pray about it, especially young mothers with children. You need wisdom. You can't go to your bedroom and close the door and pray for a while, but you can just cry out to Jesus right where you're at. And he is there, shedding light on your situation. Maybe you're at work, maybe you're having some other hard situations, or even not so hard. Just be quick to call to Jesus, to ask him for help, because he is the light of the world. He will make you a stronger, sturdier plant that's able to hold up to the winds and hard times that might come into your life. And then the fourth is soil. Well, that's weird. That should have been air. Soil and nutrients went together. Well, that's what I have here, so let's go. Soil provides nutrients and a place for roots to grow. Soil also filters rainwater and prevents flooding. So I'm going to also bring air in here. We need a healthy air to grow, and pure air. Already we've had, this might have been at a smaller greenhouse, we had our heat source, which was wood, not function real well and got a lot of smoke in the air, and that hinders plants in growing. It shuts some of those things on the leaf that drinks in air, and it just doesn't make for the healthiest plant. So I'm going to liken that to our life and surroundings in which we live, our church experience. I trust all of you have a good church experience, but there are many people out there who just want healthier church experiences, healthier air to breathe, healthier soil to grow in. I'm very thankful that for most of our years we were able to have a healthy church experience. Doesn't say it's always easy, but when you submit your life to a church, you can be a very healthy experience for you. And lastly is space. Plants need space to grow. And I like to think that we women need space to grow. I'm going to think in our homes. I know this is church and society, but in our homes is the place that we really are given space to grow. We're kind of the queen of our castle. We make our meals. We clean our house. We make our space our own. And I love that I can flourish in my own home. I can make my home what I want it to be. And it gives us a place to prosper. If we want to practice hospitality by inviting people in, we can determine what we want to make for that meal. And it's just an area that we can prosper in and be creative in. And women need that. And even in the church and in society, I see your church as being giving your women a space to grow just by having these meetings here. Your men are trusting you to have these meetings and to grow and not be taught anything misleading. They're allowing you to have the space to grow and to be women. The lead singing, your Matthew at the king's house, he just is intrigued by these women's meetings. He wishes he could bring his drone and look in through the windows. Women leading singing, women preaching, he was like, he just thought this was fascinating. I had to chuckle because this is our space to grow. We are able to teach and preach. I don't like that idea, but preaching and leading singing and stuff to women. We're allowed to do that. The younger women are to learn from the older and vice versa. So, okay, that is looking at plants and our roles in the church. Now, some of these things men need too. They need all these things that a plant needs, men need in their lives too. It's not like we're any different than men. They need water, air, nutrients, light. But I feel that we as women are called to fill a special feminine role in these areas that only we can fill. The men can do their thing, and women can do, we can do our thing, the area that we're called to fill. And together we can be a beautiful example of God's desire for the church. Okay, point three is fruitful, ways to flourish. In a way, my points are a lot the same as the previous session, just applying them in different ways. So we can be fruitful in our flourishing in the church and in society. So how can we do that? It's just some practical ways on ways that we can flourish. And I trust many of you are already doing this, but maybe you just have an area that you need to be spruce up on a little bit. So the first point I'm going to look at is spiritual disciplines. That can be Bible study, prayer, fasting, godly fellowships, and giving of thanks. Either personally or in the church, you can do these things. Some of these, my husband, I preached about on last Sunday. It was very challenging to be reminded that, you know, prayer is very important. And many of us might do hurried prayers, look at the scripture, say a prayer, and just move on with our day. But let's be spiritual, have spiritual disciplines that include all these things. And fasting is another one that can be challenging. Not all young mothers can fast. And I think God understands. He leads those gently that are with young. But we can have our spiritual disciplines in other ways too, even if you can't fast. But yeah, try to have godly fellowship, which will not only bless you, but the people that you are talking to. Our second point is in ways that we can be fruitful to flourish is to serve and to volunteer. And that could be many ways, just some ways I thought of were kind of the normal things, taking a meal to a busy mother, a new mother, a hurting mother. Take them a meal and bless them. Even sometimes we older women who aren't getting baby meals anymore can be blessed when someone gives us something. You feel loved and cared for. Maybe you can serve and volunteer by helping a busy mother. You can send encouragement notes, text, however you communicate, send encouragement to people. Serving and volunteering can also include mentoring. That is an important role that we as women often overlook. Older women can find someone to mentor. Maybe not a formal mentoring. Maybe it is, but many times it's not a formal mentoring. But there are some of the younger mothers at church that I kind of get up alongside and find out how they're doing. And I have one mother especially that will message me lots of different questions. And I just feel like it's a small thing I can do to help her through her life. And then when they need prayer, they will message. Yeah. Mentoring can apply in many different ways. But maybe especially you older women, look at how you can apply mentoring to your life. There's a young, older, single girl at church that I don't do enough of it, but we often will meet at a local area where we walk, and then we talk. She needed it. She needed some accountability in her life, and that can be a form of mentoring and just helping some of those people along on those rocky areas of their life. And even if they're not rocky, just to have an older person interested in your life and caring that you prosper is really important to young women. Third way we can be fruitful is to practice hospitality. And we often think of hospitality in the home, and that's very true. We can bring people in, we can feed them, we can minister to them in our homes. But have you ever thought that you can practice hospitality right in church? You know, the root word of hospitality is hospital, where sick people come. But not everybody that comes to church is sick, but they come, they are, you can encourage and, like, serve life to them. An example I have on the opposite is one time our family visited a church in another state. And we had two daughters with us at that time. And this church had a fellowship meal that day, and we all, partook of it. My daughters came out of that church almost crying. No one talked to them. There were a lot of youth there. No one came and talked to them at all. Let that not be said of your church. It was hard on them, but it also worked amazing things in my youngest daughter's life. She will never let a visitor come to church and not talk to them. And she's an introverted person. It's not her natural thing, but she has a couple friends her age. Our youth group is pretty small, but she has a couple friends her age, and together they will always go and talk to visitors that come. I don't think she would be there today if she would not have had that experience at that church. I talked to a few people at that church, but people that I had known previously. So it was a great church, but they weren't very hospitable towards strangers. And maybe you think, well, someone else will do it. No. Make it your responsibility to talk to strangers. Because when they come in among you, you've probably all been at strange places. You're not sure what they do, how they handle things, where do they sit, where's the restrooms. You can be that person to make them feel at home and make them feel cared for. The fourth way we can flourish is sharing our faith. This is not just for men, but it's going to look a little different for us. Our lives can preach sometimes more than our words can. One way our lives can preach is by obedient children. You go to the store with a couple children in tow, and people might think, oh dear, here comes noise and confusion. And if they're obedient, they can really speak loudly. We had a neighbor lady years ago that had a lot of children that were not obedient. They were not respectful. They did not make right choices. Her story was a hard one. One time, she rented a house from us, and one time she brought her rent, and we were talking. She says to me, I would give anything to have children like yours. And I was almost smitten because, you know, sometimes you just wish your children would be better or you'd have trained them better. But in her life, she looked on and just was like, she saw something in my children that she did not have in her life. And unfortunately for her, she had been part of a Mennonite church at one time, and with an abusive husband and hard knocks in her life, she'd kind of left it all, and her children just went down, really wrong paths. So maybe I wasn't preaching to her. I mean, I shared some things with her, but I think that my lives and my children preached to her. And one way we can preach without words is to show that our Christian life is not one of drudgery and hardness. Let your life show joy and satisfaction in the journey that God has you on. You can develop a true sense of fulfillment, and then you will never have to pretend that you're joyful. You will never have to pretend that you're satisfied if you truly are. You ever see supposedly godly women that don't know how to smile? Does that look appealing to someone who would be searching? I don't think so. So I think that we need to, deep within our hearts, have that joy and satisfaction that only Jesus can give. And that needs to spill out over our lives so that others can feel it. Even in hard times, you might be facing hard times, and you're like, how can I show joy and satisfaction in these hard times? And I want to say joy and happiness are not the same things. Happiness is more of a surface feeling, and I love being happy. Joy comes from deep within. Joy comes from a peace that Jesus gives that passes all understandings. And if necessary, use words. You know, you might be called to share the gospel or to share something from the scriptures or with other people. Maybe it's the cashier, maybe it's someone you meet. We have a business where we get a lot of customers in. And in busy season, you don't have time to talk to people because you just kind of need to get them checked out and through the door. But in not our busiest times, I love being at checkout because people will come, especially older people. They just love to talk about their problems. And you can just be listening and share a few words of encouragement or say, I'll pray for you. It can really minister to someone's heart. And in you ministering to someone else's, you also can flourish. And maybe that sends out one more flower in your beautiful hanging basket. Okay, another way that women can flourish is by teaching. And this category can be very large. In the church, women can teach children. I don't know if you do a children's class like we do. We never have women teaching our children's class in a mixed setting. But on Wednesday evenings, we have prayer time. And the younger children go and they use Sunday school books at that time. And we usually have women and young girls teaching the younger children. When they get older, often a man will do it. Right now, some of those classes have been turned into music classes. But women can teach in the church to children. And we have women who are school teachers. Many of our mothers are homeschooling mothers. They're busy teaching. Some mothers bring others in to teach them practical skills like sewing and canning and things. Last evening, this is Saturday, right? I get confused. Yeah, Friday evening in our local area, all the homeschool moms were invited. A veteran homeschooling mother, probably about a little younger than me, but all her children have graduated. She was, they had asked her to come in and speak to the homeschooling moms. She was teaching them how to do things, how to survive, how to make it. This lady, her name is Anne, she told her niece, I don't know if I'm going to have anything to say. And her niece said, you survived. Let us know that. I had been asked to come because they wanted to do a panel then afterwards. I would have loved to, just be there and to hear the teaching and how we as older women can teach the younger. That you will make it. Even if times are hard, you will make it. But we also want to thrive, not just survive. But some days, you survive. A sixth way we can flourish is by serving as deaconesses, women's ministries, or other capacities. Now, our churches don't have deaconesses, per se. But I feel a lot of our deacons' wives, and even ministers' wives, some, can fill that role. They do some of those behind-the-scenes jobs, maybe go along with their husband when he needs to visit or sit in on counseling sessions. My husband doesn't like to sit with a woman by himself, so he will definitely have me along. We have women that teach children's classes, women in city ministry, women that teach classes of especially girls and young children. We had a time where I shared a little bit last night where we went to Ukraine. We served as house parents there. It was definitely a time of serving. And it wasn't like I was doing anything super glorious. I was doing laundry and some of the other women were cooking. But it was a place I could fill so that the men could go out and serve in much bigger ways. Or for them, it was bigger ways. To me, it was big, too. I had to get that laundry done. At the end of the day, the piles were back again. They were huge. But I was glad to do it. In our church, Ladies Not Comforters for Christian Aid Ministries, I don't know if you do that out here or not, but I know the Living Hope Congregation, I think it does it every month during the winter, which is remarkable. They have a whole committee, I think, that heads that up. We do it once a year. We have a local Mennonite volleyball barn, we call them, big barns that are open for renting, that they, during the winter months, they bring in quilt frames of huge rolls of batting and like all the pins and needles and stuff that you will need. And then different groups can come in, set up their comforters. We bring the comfort tops in that we sewed and backs, and we cannot. In one evening's time, I think we get at least 20 done. Then some of us women take them home to bind them. But that's one way we can, women can do a ministry. And beforehand, you need to get them sewed. Side point, boys can sew too, not just women. I had some patches at home that another of the sisters had cut, and I just realized I'm not going to get a lot of these done, so I offered them to this other mother, and her son took a huge interest in sewing, and she sent me a picture. I think he has four done now. In about a little over a week, he got four of them done. And I think he's 8. I just want to make sure the seams are deep enough that they hold. But that is such a blessing. This is a little bit off my notes, but this is a boy that has a hard time learning and feels like, or his mom feels like, he never can do anything quite right, you know, he's just a little bit. But this is something he is just prospering in, and I told him I'm so proud of him, and he made him so happy. So when I get home, the day after I get home, Tuesday, some of my friends are getting together to sew dresses for Christian Aid Ministries. I'm not sure how they do it, but my one friend works at the clothing center in Pennsylvania, and they have I don't know. I'll know more after I do it. She brings us the fabric, and we're all just going to do a bunch of sewing and cutting and stuff. And then we also, another way women can volunteer and bless others is, I'm sure you have Christian Aid packings here. We also have a place in Pennsylvania called Blessings. It's called Blessings of Hope, where I like to go and volunteer my time just for 2.5 hours. And I like to go to the dehydration plant where we chop up vegetables that they dehydrate and make into soups. So it's just simple ways that women can find ways to minister, to help. And when I had young children, I might not have been doing a lot of this stuff. But as an older woman, I don't want my life to just fritter away cleaning my house or doing my own things. But I want to step outside my own little realm. And I love taking care of my house. And I feel I need to do that. But I can also find time to help with some other things. And the seventh way that women can flourish is in the home. Women in the home is also women in the church. My thought behind that is who we are in the home is also who we are in the church. Your home affects your church. In the home, we're raising children, tending the house, loving our husbands. And all those things build stability in your church. Think of the opposite. If a woman is not doing her thing, she's not raising children or loving her husband. And the pictures that you know of, can think of some of those opposites, is not very pretty. So, mothers, you are raising up the next generation. Some of your little boys might be men who run the church. Or your women, or your little girls, you might be raising up, you're probably raising up the next mothers in the church. So what you do in the home truly affects the church. For me, I was kept busy in my home for 38 years raising children. And, you know, now I feel my focus is shifting. Now I have grandchildren or whatever else God brings my way. But when I was in the home with little ones, homeschooling, I felt that that was my first and foremost calling. Yes, I went out and did some other things, especially if my children could go along. At first, I didn't even want to travel without my children. I just felt like my calling is in the home, and if I put my children to babysitters so that I can travel and do ministry, I just felt like I was a failure in that area. So I actually didn't travel much by myself until my children were older and were much more able to take care of themselves. At first, in fact, it was my prayer early on when I knew my husband wanted me to travel with him. I did not want to leave my children until one of them was married and brought a husband into the picture. I just felt that added, I don't know, just a sense of stability to the children that were left at home. And God was so faithful in that. I'm not saying that has to be for everybody, but that's how I felt. And some of that might have been because my dad was a truck driver, and every once in a while my mother would go along, and I was always so glad when Mom came home again. Because life then returned to normal. We had good experiences when she was gone, but there was just something that I always appreciated so much when Mom came home. But my daughter got married in July, and I traveled to Africa then for the first time in September. God answered my prayer just perfectly. So I think I'm going to wind up here. I was thinking of reading Titus 2, 1 through 5. You're welcome to do that and just see how you can apply the Titus 2 woman to your life. I think my voice is giving out and the time is ticking on, so I think I will just skip over that, as it probably includes a lot of things I already talked about. But again, in my mind's eye, I can see a healthy church, like a beautiful, well-groomed estate, with tall, stately trees, lush flower beds, healthy, prospering vegetable gardens. A healthy church provides life, nourishment, and a place to relax for anyone who enters. It doesn't just happen. Healthy churches, healthy women in the church don't just happen. It takes work, it takes tools, and it takes a vision. And I would like to leave you with that challenge to create that healthy church through your women, through the women, and through your children who will grow up to someday run the church, Lord willing. So I hope you can catch a little glimpse of that too, to be a flourishing woman in your home, to be a flourishing woman in your church, which will, together, both of those will create a flourishing church. Thank you. Would you mind if I would take a picture of you all? See how I can do this. I need my daughter here, which is much more of a photographer than I, but I just... 1, 2, 3. All right, thank you so much. Thank you, Beverly, for talking. We've all been enjoying your talks, and yeah.
Lillian?